Sound doctrine. It all begins with speaking. If you do not have a voice, all the knowledge that you have inside of you would be of very little use. And that's what God said to Titus through the Apostle Paul. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That means you have to keep on teaching. Keep on teaching and do not stop. Every church must have a very, very strong teaching. From the youngest to the oldest. Your Sunday school system must be very, very disciplined and organized. And get teachers who are called to teaching to teach. And then all your fellowship groups, the Word of God must be the focus. And the people who wants to teach, make sure that they are able to dissect the Word of God, to make sure that the people who come together, they are properly fed the Word of God. And above all else, it has to be the pulpit. The pulpit ministry reaches out to the entire church within the same period of time. You spend 45 minutes to an hour at a fellowship group, you impact those who are in that fellowship group. That same 45 minutes to an hour from the pulpit every Lord's Day impact the whole church. The impact is crucial. That's why it is so important that the church must speak up concerning the Word of God. You cannot keep silent. That means the leaders must be a very, very good student of God's Word before you can teach. I know that some churches, the pastors, they only preach once a month. The other 3 weeks, they invite others to come and take over, and sometimes the pastor just sit there in the congregation. In other words, the pastor only speak 12 messages a year. Once a year, maybe you add on Christmas and Easter, there may be another two more. But other than that, only 12 sermons a year. And I was also told, and I was a little taken aback, when one of our Bible church members who attends a Bible study, the person shared that after his friend invited him for a meal, he says, I can't, I have to attend Bible study. And so the friend asked our church member, who is teaching the Bible study? Our pastor. Then the friend said, oh, I thought pastors are not supposed to do Bible study. And the church member was also taken aback, and I was also taken aback. I thought that's what pastors do. If you do not do Bible studies, then what do you do? Seriously, what do? If you only preach once a week or even once a month, what do you do for the rest of the month? You mean your sermon that you're going to preach once a month, you need 29 days to prepare one sermon? That means the sermon must be very, very powerful. 29 days to prepare one sermon. That's what's happening in many churches today. I haven't heard of a BP church where the pastor is only a pastor of that church for maybe 4 days of the week because he's also advisory pastor of two other churches the other 3 days. It's all about money. And this would be his terms. And then he will only preach once a month. And I was told that lately he announced to the church at prayer meeting that the pastor and the session, they are very busy, they have families, they have no time, and so from now onwards, the prayer meeting of the church will be taken over by the congregation. It's as if the congregation have no families. It's ridiculous. But this is what is happening in churches today. We're not talking about just speaking. We all like to speak. I remember when I attend Bible studies, so sometimes I just arrive on time, and sometimes a little late. And so the moment I arrive, I will hear a lot of the students, I mean those who come for the Bible study, a lot of noise, everybody is talking. And then I sat down, I prepare all my things, and then I said, welcome to the Bible study, all keep quiet. Any prayer meetings? So any prayer items? None. Then during the course of the Bible study, I will ask questions. Anyone want to answer? Nobody wants to answer. I thought just not so many people were speaking before I came in. Now, how come suddenly everybody's so quiet? Nobody wants to speak. So this speak here is not just speaking. Speak things that will turn into sound doctrines. Now, what are the things that you can speak that will turn into sound doctrines? Now, sound doctrines will be like the food that will feed the flock. And the flock is described here as aged men, aged women, young men, young women. That's the people. Whenever you think of the church, think of the people. Now, children are excluded because they are not adults, they are not old enough to take the teaching, the role of defending the good faith. Yet, they are children. Oh, they can share the gospel. But God will not hold them responsible for the direction of the church because they are still children. That's why aged men, aged women, young women are targeted in this sound doctrine. When you speak the things, what are the things that will bring forth, give birth to sound doctrine? The Word of God. Now, does that mean that Christians are not allowed to joke? No, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to joke. By all means, joke. All right? If we cannot joke, every time you open your mouth, it has to be the Bible. You are very, very strange. Nobody wants to talk to you. Right? That's not what the Bible wants us to become. Completely oblivious of what is happening in the world. Every time you open your mouth, it has to be chapter and verse. You cannot say anything else. So I do not know what you're going to say to your wife. All right? If you say that, actually, I want to have my lunch at 12 o'clock, you tell your wife. How to say it if you don't use a Bible verse? You cannot say it. Dear, John 3:16 minus. You cannot. How are you going to? So it doesn't mean that everything that comes to your mind must be Bible-based, okay? It doesn't mean that you cannot joke, you cannot have lighthearted moment, you cannot have Christian fellowship where you talk about your children's education or wives come together and then you are not allowed to talk about how to cook better, how to improve your baking skill, whatever it is, all these things are fine. Okay, because all these are part and parcel of the person's day-to-day life. But what are the things that will bring about sound doctrine is within the context of instruction and teaching and building up of the faith of the believers. We're talking about instruction in the church, the Bible program inside the church. Very, very important. Many churches, they don't have a good, strong Bible study program from the pulpit to the Sunday school. I do not know much about the Bible study program of Tabernacle, but you have to have one. You need to have one. When we took over the Mandarin congregation, after the Mandarin congregation pastor left us in our church, I was shocked and amazed that the Mandarin congregation brethren hardly knew the Word of God. And later on, I found out because the pastor literally preached once a month. The other few Sundays, he just sat there and he invited outside speakers to come. But he's a very nice pastor in terms of visitation, in terms of going out with members, play badminton with them and be their friend. A pastor is not supposed to be their friend. You're supposed to be the pastor, the shepherd of the flock. You're not to be nice to people for the sake of being nice to people in your failure of teaching them the Word of God. He didn't teach them the Word of God for 20 over years. And so when the issue of the VPP came about, they found it as completely irrelevant. They did not know that Christian faith has everything to do with the Bible. They thought that Christian faith has everything to do with fellowship. As long as we are all very close to one another, we all go and do things together, we go visitation together, that's the Christian faith. Where is Christ? The Christian faith is not you and me, it's you and me and Christ as head. If there's no Christ in our relationship, that's not called Christian fellowship. And now, after he left, that was the best thing that ever happened. Now we have to start teaching them the Word of God, start teaching them the Word of God. We have had members from other churches who come to our church and they attend basic Bible knowledge class, and some of them are elders. We make no distinction. Elders from another church also go to attend basic Bible knowledge class. They might feel offended. If you're offended, then don't attend. Don't have to be a member. It's fine. And so there was this lady who was a deaconess who came to our church, and then I said, I'm sorry, you have to go through BBK. And so I went to that church, and then when that church member, who was my friend, heard about it, he was offended. Well, how come you require our deaconess to come to a church and attend basic Bible knowledge class? He was offended. I said, if you come also, you got to attend. Seriously, it's for your own good. It's for your own good. You come to the church, you better know what we believe in. And then thank God that these people who are humble enough to come and attend, and then after 20 lessons, they share with us that many of the things that we call basic, they have never even heard of before in their lives. And they have been Christians for 20, 30 years. Churches do not focus on the word of God, the church will die. Literally, the church will die. Then the whole system will fall apart. Now, God gave us, for example, very clear, definitive qualifications of an elder. We talked about it last night. For an elder, the list in Titus. You want a more complete list? You go to 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 to verse 7 for elders, verse 8 to verse 13, I believe, for deacons and deaconess. It's all there. But I know that many churches today, they promote elders and deacons based upon their position in the world. They have money, they have education, make them elders, make them deacons. That's the sure way to destroy the church. But that's what churches are today. These people don't study the Bible, but they are very rich, they're very influential, and they speak very well, they're highly educated, you make them leaders. Oh, they can talk, but what do they speak? They speak nonsense. They do not speak things that will bring about sound doctrine. They will speak a lot of things that will bring about carnality. Plenty of them. Saw this in our own church as well, back home in Calvary. Saw it with our own eyes. But thank God these people are no longer there. They are removed. I thank God for that. Because when we have session meetings and board of elders meeting with these people inside, literally I got to prepare myself as if I was like a boxer putting on boxing gloves before I go for session meeting. It was like a boxing glove. It was like a fight. Every time you want to talk about the Bible, they don't even know what you are talking about. Literally. You say that this thing should be done this way because the Bible says this way. They just simply brush you aside and they simply want to go their own way. And you ask them for the biblical basis and all that, they don't have and they don't care. They can talk. They're educated. They have money. More money than us pastors. And so they think that they can get away with whatever they wanted. Very deadly and dangerous. A lot of people who are speaking, but they don't bring about sound doctrine. What about Tabernacle? A lot of you can speak. I can see that from the way that you chair. But will it bring about sound doctrine? Because sound doctrine will change lives. It will change lives. You look at verse 2 and verse 3. There is no accident that God put aged men first, and then aged women, and then young women, and then young men. Okay? Very, very important. The aged men. Aged in age, of course. But you must also be aged in spirituality. Because you are at the evening years of your life. And the younger people will look at you. If you are holy and righteous, you will be a tremendous blessing and witness. You don't even have to talk much. They just look at your life that has been impacted by sound doctrine. They will see you as an example for them to follow, for them to be encouraged by. Because your life is now at an end. They look at your life, they look at your family, they look at your children, and they are all godly. And they are encouraged because they want to see how they can also follow in your footsteps. Because they know that in 30, 40 years' time, they will be in your shoes. And they want to be like you. That's how important you are, aged men. Okay? Aged men would be those who are senior adults and beyond. Where your life is already at an end, where your children are already grown up, you are about to retire or have retired, and you now look at life from a very different perspective from others. You can't help it. That's the way of life. It changes you. When you are young, you think you have the whole life ahead of you. Many young people who are young, when they don't have much money, they spend time to save money, right? That's what I did. I will stop one bus stop before the actual bus stop so that I can walk one bus stop length in order to save 5 cents. Seriously, when you're young, I don't have much money. When my dad passed away, we were kicked out of the house. My dad was a multimillionaire. But when my dad passed away, we were kicked out of the house. My mom doesn't work, and there were 9 of us. I was only 17 years old, and I was number 4 in the family. My youngest brother was about 6-7 years old. So we didn't have much money, literally. And so I saved. When I was in the university, my mom said, I only have enough money savings to pay for your tuition, no money to pay for everything else, for your books, for your lunch, everything. For all the material you need for your architecture, I have nothing. You got to find a way for yourself. And so I got to give tuition. And by the end of the month, before the next tuition pay, I literally have no money in my pocket, maybe $10 the most. So I save money by spending time. But as you grow older, now you have more money but less time. So now you spend money to save time. True? Now you spend money to save time. Because now, when you look at your life, 3 score years and 10, I just got my senior citizen card. That means 60 years already. 3 score years, only 10 more years. By reason of strength, another 10 more, and that's it. My time of service is done. It's over. So when you are aged, you look at your life. What kind of life have you lived? You look back. What have you done for the Lord since the day you were born again in Christ? What kind of lives have you impacted for Christ? The aged man. Very important. That's why the Bible says, teach sound doctrines so that the aged man, whose lives will impact the lives of all the younger ones, that they will be sober. Okay? Sober means clear mind, abstain from wine. All right? Not a mind that is clouded. A mind that is sharp and focused and clear. The aged people. So that the younger ones may look at you as an example. That is something that is not negotiable. Whether you say, I don't like it, don't look at me, they will still look at you. That's what age will do to you in your life. People will look up to you. Children look up to parents. Spiritual children in the church will look up to the senior ones. Grave. The word grave here means to be venerated for your character's sake. People will venerate you, look up to you because of your strong character, serious character. That's why sometimes it's very disturbing when people who are aged, they behave like a clown. To me, that is very tragic. If you are 16 years old, you want to behave like a clown, it's understandable. But when you are 60 years old, you still behave and talk like as if you're a clown. And what makes it even worse is if you're an elder of a church, and then you are in your 60s and 70s, and every time when there is a gathering, you behave like a clown again. To me, that is unthinkable, unconscionable. You're an elder, few more years left on earth, and you're still clowning around. Let people look at your life and let them venerate you. That means let them honor you. Let them respect you for your character. Know when to be serious. If you're playing with the grandchildren, you talk like a child. We can understand, right? You're talking to a grandchild, okay? 2 years old. All right? You behave and you come down to his level and you talk like a grandchild. I mean, like a child to a grandchild as a grandfather. We can understand. But you are at the dining table, maybe a church anniversary, where you have church members there and you are an elder, and then all you can do is to crack jokes and laugh loudly and make a fool of yourself. The Bible says, be grave. Know when to be serious. Know when to open your mouth and know when to keep your mouth shut. And when you open your mouth, talk Bible sense. Don't be the life of the party and make a fool of yourself. This kind of behavior and conduct belongs to the world. To the world, there is no age limit to clowning themselves, because that's to them a hopeless life. But we are Christians. the spiritual responsibilities that you have to the younger ones will only end when you stop breathing. And when your life ends, when the members in the congregation, every time they think of you, what will they remember about you? Your jokes? That you're a clown? Now that is to me a very sad set left behind of your life. That all they can think about you is you just like to crack jokes. Be grave. Be temperate, self-control. Don't come under the power of any old people, aged people. Don't be addicted to anything. Be disciplined. Okay? I know old people now, you have a little bit more time. Spend the time wisely and fruitfully instead of the Korean drama. Okay? Instead of Korean drama. I did not say cannot watch Korean drama because some of them may be very nice. I do not know. I don't watch. Okay? Maybe not unbiblical in its concept. It may be the lovey-dovey kind, you know. I do not know, okay? Fine, but don't come under the power of any. Know when to draw the line, know when to stop. Temperate, that's what it is. You like to eat certain kind of food, know when to stop. Okay, I know that this is a very nice hotel and the food is amazing. But I look at some of you, wow, you all got a bottomless pit, you know. Wow, you really eat, huh? Wow, I hope that by the time the last day, the last meal of the camp, you should slow down. Maybe the first couple of days, you see, you eat. But if every day the food looks the same, wow, you're in trouble. I think they need two buses. You can't fit. The bus can't move. Self-control, okay? Temperate. Please, self-control. No matter how delicious and how nice the food is, self-control. I know now I've got to sit alone at the dining table already. Nobody will sit with me. If you sit with me, I'm going to look. Oh, now you're going to use me from the pulpit. That's why I always sit alone. Okay, when I sit down in church camp, I got to force myself, and my wife and I will introduce ourselves. Is the seat taken? So I look for a table where there are already people. Then I will force myself in. Because if I sit at an empty table, the table will remain empty. Nobody will sit there. Somehow, this is my life story at church camp. Nobody will sit with me. That's why I find that this church camp, they can put your name and then in a cup and then in a glass, and so everybody could have. But I do not know whether this is true. I know breakfast now, you got to sit free sitting, right? So lunch and dinner will be the same pattern, is it? So somebody will put, no more already, free sitting. Only dinner, then have all the thing. All right, so lunchtime, so I see whether I'll sit alone or not. Maybe other John will sit with me. But otherwise, nobody will sit with me. But he can eat, I tell you, he can eat. He looks so skinny and so small. No? I look bigger than him, but wow, he eat and eat. I look at him, I should tell my wife. I don't see him here. Temperate, huh? Temperate. Okay? But he's not aged yet. He still looks so young. Sound in faith, definite. Okay? Because you're already aged, you better be sound in faith by that age. Unless you just came to know Christ at that age, then that's excusable. But if you have been a Christian for so many years, you better be sound in faith. Do you know what it means by sound in faith or not? Sound in faith means that whatever doctrine that has been asked of you, you know how to explain, you know how to answer it from the Bible because you have lived it out in your life. That's what it means by sound in faith. You can explain. That's what the Bible tells us, right? Be ever ready in season, out of season, to give an account, give an explanation for what you believe in. Ever ready to give an explanation for what you believe in. That's what it means by sound in faith. That means you have to be very well versed in scriptures, especially on all these major issues today. If people ask you, are there Christians in the charismatic churches? What would your answer be? What would your answer be? What would you say? Are there Christians in the Roman Catholic Church? What would your answer be? What about the tongues spoken by them? Are there visions and dreams still today? All these you have to be able to explain from scriptures. Because these are very pertinent in our time. This is part of contemporary Christianity. Because this is very prominent in the lives of millions of charismatics all over the world. And I'm sure none of us do not know a charismatic. We all have a charismatic friend or relative. My sister belongs to a charismatic church. I can't talk to her, my younger sister. Because if I raise the subject, I may come across as a big bully. Because I know more of God's word than she does. And so I may come across as a big bully. And it will end up very, very messy. Especially in my brother or my sister's home. But if they raise the subject, I will be very happy to come in and start talking and explaining. They have to raise it. I can't raise it. My sister has been a charismatic for many years and she speaks in tongues. I mean, I did talk to her in the past about it. She just simply kept quiet and listened. She didn't say anything. That to me is worse than arguing. Okay, if you argue, that means it has touched something, right? And that's a good sign. But when you just simply keep quiet, it's not good. So once in a while, I may give her a Christmas gift, a book concerning the cessation of tongues, things like this. So it's a very indirect way to tell her, hopefully that she will read the book. You know, things like this. I've given her the book by Dr. Jeffrey Koo on Q&A on charismatism. Things like this. Give as a gift, hoping that it will help her. Now we all, I'm sure you have a friend or relative. So you have to know all these issues so that you can be sound in your faith. That means your faith is not just the gospel, which is important, but the Christian faith as a whole. You have to be sound in it so that whatever direction that people come at you in asking you about this issue, that doctrine, you must be able to explain biblically as an agent, believer. In charity, love. The expression of love, and that's why they translated this as using the English word charity. It could be agape, where it is love, the feeling and the emotion. And that's what you find in Ephesians chapter 5. Husband, love your wife, as Christ loved the church. When the focus is on the feeling of love, agape will be translated as love. But when the focus is on the expression of love, the deeds of love, then the English word charity will be used, like in this case. Acts of love, that's charity. That means be giving, be helping, be helpful. You are aged. You have a lot to contribute to the lives of the younger ones. Don't cloister yourself up into an ivory tower somewhere. Continue to mix and be with the people so that they can look at you and you can tell them, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. Don't be ashamed to say that. Be genuine, be sincere in saying that. Look at my life. Be ye followers of me as I follow Christ, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul said, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul wants all of us to say, especially the aged. In patience. Patience means difficult circumstances. You are very, very persevering. Long-suffering is with reference to difficult people. Two different words. Long-suffering, be very persevering with difficult people. And sometimes there are difficult people in our lives, and so you have to exercise long-suffering. But when it comes to a difficult circumstance, patience is required. And some circumstances can be very, very long-drawn. And you have to exercise patience. Persevere to the very end. Don't give up. Stay the course until the trial, the challenge ends. And don't think that just because you are aged, there will be no challenges. Reverend Toh had to start a brand new church called True Life in his 80s. We dare not even start a church in our 30s. Because starting a church is easy, but to sustain it, week after week, year after year, it requires a lot of prayer, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. And to start one in his 80s, I cannot imagine what it must have been like for him to be ousted from his own church that he had been a pastor of for 50 over years because he believed in the perfect Bible. And they gave him a choice. The moment you believe the Bible has mistakes, you stay. The moment you believe the Bible has mistakes, you got to go. It was not a choice. It was an easy decision. How can he hold on to the congregation just to have an easy life and reject Christ. You never stop facing challenges, and that's why impatience for the agent. As long as you're still breathing, as long as you are walking the straight and holy path, Satan will not leave you alone. But rest assured, God is sovereign. Your heavenly Father will never tempt you above that which you are able to bear. So just because you are aged, please don't think that you will not face challenges. That's why impatience, difficult circumstances. And then for the aged woman, likewise, same as the men, that they be in behavior, good behavior, as becometh holiness. Same thing. Be very holy, that means get rid of sin in your life, aged women. Not false accusers. Be very careful that you do not speak things that are not true. You like to talk more than men, it is said, right? Women speak about 10,000 words more than men a day. That's a lot. Okay, so don't be a false accuser. It is better to control your tongue than to speak without thinking. Not given to much wine. Same thing. Not given to much wine means when you drink the water that is purified by those fermented grape juice, don't pretend to drink water, but actually you change the proportion and you are actually drinking the fermented grape juice, which will have the alcohol content, which may be very mild, but still there, to purify the water, to make it safe for drinking, because in the time of the Romans, they have pipe water from the mountain, which are aqueducts, and you can still see them in some parts of Israel. And these aqueducts are open air. By the time they start from the mountaintop, it is cool and refreshing. But in summertime, by the time they arrive in the town, in the city, it will be warm and tepid. That's why in the Revelation, they don't like warm, lukewarm. They will spill it out of their mouth. They want either very cool or very hot, but they don't like lukewarm. And so the water will carry with it bacteria and whatever that you find in this open aqueduct. And so they know that you cannot just drink it directly. You've got to purify it, and that's what they use, to purify it for safe drinking for themselves and for the children. Either that or you boil it. That's what they did. And so the teaching was not given too much wine, because women, they have more time. They stay home in those days. Teachers of good things. So that means be good students of God's word and be good teachers to the younger ones and to your own children. Now, you are aged already. Okay, so you must be a good teacher of God's word. That means by this time, like the aged man, you have been a Christian for many, many years. You should have a very good knowledge of the word of God as women. Sound witness. The two most important groups in the church, the aged men and the aged women. The younger women will look up to you for examples to follow, to emulate. The young men will look at the aged men for examples to follow. Very, very important. That's why a healthy church is a church where you have the entire spectrum. And I thank God that in Tabernacle, Sunday after Sunday, when I come down and see from the congregation, you have that age range, which is good, which is healthy, from the young ones to the older ones. Very important. But those who are older, you make sure that your age in physical matches your age in spiritual. Never stop studying God's word. The older you are, the more you must study, because now a lot more people are looking up to you. When you are young, very few people look up to you. But when you are older, a lot of people look up to you. The Bible said, those who have hoary head with understanding will be highly regarded. Key is with understanding, not just getting old, but old with understanding. Good doctrine, good knowledge. Teach good things. Because your life will impact. You see, look at verse 4, verse 5. Will impact. First, impact the young women, the older women especially, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be godly at home, godly mothers, godly wives. If you are married and you have children, stay home. Stay home, be a stay-home parent for the sake of the children. This is something that you must consciously do. I know it is against the norm, against the tide. Some of you might say that I do not understand. I do understand. But what about our home? What about your home? The Bible said, unless the Lord builds your house, you will build it in vain. What does that mean? That means unless you build your house according to the scriptures, any other method you use to build your house will be a failure. That's what it means. And the Bible did tell us that when God blesses a husband and a wife with a child or children, God knows when you are ready to become parents. And as Christian parents, you must stay home to look after your own children. What do you do when you stay home? You pray for them and with them. You spend time studying the Bible, like what the Bible here says. Study the Bible so that you will be sober. You know exactly how your child is doing and growing up. Many parents who work, both of them, they come home, they feel guilty. They see their children, hardly will they spend time with them, because by the time they come home, some of them, the children are already sleeping. If they're not sleeping, they stay up very late into the night just to spend time with the parents, and that again is a bad testimony. Not healthy for the children to stay until 10, 11 p.m. in the middle of the night when they are just babies. They should be sleeping. Why? Because you want to spend time with them. But if you have been spending time with them throughout the whole day as a full-time parent, that would not be an issue. Then you can share with the husband who is working, whatever you see and experience in your child's upbringing, you share with the husband, you pray together as a family. You know how wonderful that is? To be present and to shape and to mold the lives of your child. But because you don't bother, you don't listen, you follow the ways of the world, you pay the price. And by the price you pay, it's a very heavy price. It will be the waywardness of your children. That's the price. For what? For a bigger house? Sure, you have a bigger house. My wife and I agreed that the moment we have a child, the Lord blesses with a child, she will stop work. At the time when we had a child, I just finished FEBC, 4 years in FEBC. No HDB house, no home, nothing. When we were married, we stayed in a room in FEBC. No toilet, just a room with a corridor, with a sink. And that corridor and the sink became our tiny little kitchenette. And then we have a lot of unwanted guests. I killed about 20 to 30 rats in that room. They keep on coming in, and whatever packet, noodles that I put outside, I come back and it will be eaten up. There will be holes everywhere, messy. I try to stop them. I put Vanguard sheet. They eat through. I put plywood, they ate through. Very powerful FEBC train rats. Very powerful. Then I put chicken wire and then stopped them. But before that, I trapped them. I literally trapped them. I use mouse trap. I know how to trap rats. I give them poison. And one day when I give them poison, the book says, you give them poison, they will eat and they will be very thirsty. They will go blind, they will come out, and they will drink the water in the drain, and then they're going to die outside. And then one day, I heard Mrs. Stowe scolding the students down below where my room was. Why is this room so smelly? Why is this room so smelly? Because directly below my room would be the guest house. And the guest house was also a place where they store a lot of those mattresses that they use for church camp. Many rats died in between the mattresses. And so it stank. It was terrible. Okay? Who did this? I kept quiet. Now she knows if she listened to this sermon. I was the culprit. I killed a lot. And then when Abigail came, they have no house. Nothing. Because the bringing up of a child with my wife as the full-time housewife was more important than whatever money, whatever home. Nothing. We stayed in church for a while. And then the Lord called us to go to America. And so we went to America. When we came back, still no house. We asked permission to stay in the church as a full-time staff. And thank God the church allowed. It was only after we have our third child, then we realized that the accommodation provided in the church, which has only two rooms, was not big enough. And that's when we applied for HDB. step by step, the Lord provided never a time when we had no roof over our head. All we need was just a roof. Do we need a big house? Just a roof, that's all. Whatever the Lord provides, we thank God for it. So please don't argue and say that we want our house. You pay a price. If you can afford it with one person's income, by all means. But to sacrifice your responsibility as a parent so that you cannot be a loving mother to your husband and to your children, that to me is too high a price to pay just to have a bigger house. You don't need a bigger house. What you need is a godly home. Isn't that true? Learn from the mistakes of others who thought they knew better and they didn't listen to the Bible. And now you find the names of their children who are all grown up, all working in the world, in our prayer list under spiritual condition. Please pray for them. They are wayward. They don't come to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't have Christian fellowship. They just love the world. And now the parents knew that very soon they're not going to be on earth anymore. And the children are still wayward. What will happen to them when they are gone? They cannot imagine what it's like. When they were young, when the parents were young, that was the time when they could make the right impact and the right decision. They did not. And now when they are aged, the children are grown, now they pay the price. And that's why the aged women, you teach the younger ones. You instruct them. You share with them. Even if you fail, you share with them your failures and plead with them. Don't follow in my footsteps. I had a mother who worked. They live in big house, multi-millionaire. Shared with me. I regretted working. Oh, they sent all their children overseas to get a university education. But none of them walked close to the Lord. Wayward. In my opinion, a couple of them might not even be born again. She regretted it. If only. That's all she could say. If only. Now she's no longer on earth. She's gone. And the children are also gone. Wayward. Not interested in anything Christian. She said, if only. Oh, the children have superb education all overseas with a very, very amazing overseas degrees and make tons of money, very famous and well off and big shot. But what for? When the person is aged, the whole perspective of life changes. When you are a young mother, what do you want for your children? Like this? Very famous, high position, make tons of money? Is that what you hope for your children? Then go in that direction. You pay the price. But of course, when they are aged, they realize that it was a mistake. What they want for their children now is that they be spiritual. They serve the Lord in humility in the church. They come Sunday after Sunday to worship with their children. That's what they want for their children when they are aged, when the parents are aged. But that kind of want is wishful thinking. Because that's not reality. They make a mistake. They should have wanted that when they were young, when the children were babes. That they could do something in their lives, but they did not. That's why aged women, you teach the young ones, the young women. Even if it is a mistake, you still teach them and share with them, don't follow in my footsteps. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. King Solomon sharing with us, don't follow in my footsteps. I make a big mistake. Without God, all the praises of man and all the gold and everything that I have in life was vanity. All is vanity. You can do the same, aged women. Talk to the young ones, that they may be sober to love their husbands. How? According to the scriptures. To love their children, according to the scriptures, by teaching them the word of God, to be discreet, to learn how to control their mouth, to be chaste, to continue to remain holy and righteous, pure and good. Keepers at home, look after the house. Be good, be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God will not be blasphemed by their conduct. Now, in today's context and application and understanding, and also based upon the Bible, you study Proverbs 31. That woman, that wife, she worked. What we have here in keepers at home literally means caring for the house. Okay, in today's context, it could be either the wife or the husband, it would be fine. It's just that in those days, the women likes to run around and leave the house. Husbands, they work in the field. Women don't stay home. And that's why the instruction here is, women, you keep stay home. Because if you are out, the husband is out in the field, who is looking after the house? Okay, so the head of the house, you have to make sure as the husband, your home, your children, they are not neglected. And today's technology, where the men can work from home, they can also stay home and the wife can go outside and work. I know some of you do that. But somebody must stay home and look after the children full time. Okay? You cannot say, only women must. If the only women must, then you're going to be in trouble because you're going to equate that with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, they are must. This one is not a Ten Commandment apodictic law. This is a casuistic law. Okay? Preferably, the wife. But there may be extenuating circumstances where the husband may have to stay home. Then the husband has to stay home. For example, if the husband is in a wheelchair, you make this an apodictic law where the wife must stay home and look after the children, then you're in trouble. That's why this is under the casuistic law. You must know the context. People, they work in those days in farms. They do not have technology like what we have. And then the women also go out of the house, fool around. And that's why the aged women, you counsel them. You tell them not to neglect their responsibility. If the husband is outside in the field working hard, what are you doing? You be a guardian and a keeper of the home. And you stay home and you watch and bring the children up through prayer, through study of God's word. Help them grow and teach them what is right and what is wrong. Teach them what the word of God is the moment they are born. That's what you must do. Aged women, teach the young women to do that. Impact the lives of the people around you for good. For the aged ones, the impact is crucial. You have an ability that the young ones do not have. Because the young ones, their life is still in the process of being lived out. When you are aged, your life has already been lived out. And that gives you the credibility and the strength and conviction that the young parents do not have yet. The young parents can talk a lot about their children doing well in PSLE, for example. Fine, by all means. But you never know, they can only do well in PSLE in their studies. But are they godly when they are in A-level? Are they still attending church? Are they still serving fervently and zealously when they are in A-level? And then when they have their own families, are they still in church, worldly or godly? You'd never know. Because they are young parents, their children are only P6, 12 years old. But for you as aged, your children are already grown up, your children are already working, your children are already what they are supposed to be. Failure or otherwise, you still have to share with them. If it's a failure, you share with them, don't follow in my footsteps. If your children are godly and their families are godly, you tell them how you did it to encourage them. Either way, you must impact them. Don't hide. Share your life. The aged men and the aged women. You have the kind of credibility that the young ones simply do not have because they have not yet lived their lives. You have. And share with them before you close your eyes for the last time and breathe your last. That's why the Lord has sustained you. That's why the Lord has given you life still on this earth before the Lord takes you home. Have a voice. Have a sound witness so that you can have a sound impact. That's how you keep looking at the blessed hope for yourself and help others to do likewise. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for life. We thank Thee, O Lord, for all the aged men and women that You have given to us in our lives. And especially in Tabernacle BP Church. Help each and every one of them, O Lord, to impact the lives of the younger ones for Thy glory. If they have made mistakes, share with the younger ones how to avoid their mistakes. If they have been tremendous in their witness and blessing as evidence by their own lives and the lives of their families, help them, O Lord, to share with the younger ones on how they can also follow in their footsteps. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace in our lives. For the times when we failed thee, you have always been very patient in dealing with each and every one of us. Help us not to take what you have blessed us with and entrusted to us for granted, but to do our utmost to speak things that will bring about sound doctrines. And for the aged men and women, may their lives be holy and righteous and impact the lives of others around them toward holiness and righteousness as well. So that together, all of us may not take our eyes off the blessed hope, which is the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ for each and every one of us to take us home. Strengthen us, encourage us, and help us to desire the things that are eternal and spiritual. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.